Brother and sister, sermon this morning is by John Harveland, and the title of the sermon is A Spiritual House. A Spiritual House. The theme is this morning that the Lord God is building His holy people on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. What is church? I'm sure you and me have all asked this question so many times. When we look at the world and we ask the people of the world a question, they will say, ooh, it's a building. It's the St. Peter's Cathedral. Or it's the Taranaki Cathedral. Or it's the Christ Church Cathedral. That is church. They will say to us, it's a physical building where you go to meet God. There are, even today, some religious groups that believe that. That the only place you can meet God is if you go to the physical church. The Bible, on the other hand, describes to us the physical church as something totally different. The Bible says to us, through metaphors, what the church is. The church is described as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. The city of God, the vine, a people, and a building. So the Bible tries and tells through certain metaphors that it is not a physical building. The Apostle Peter, when he wrote his letter, went and borrowed from all the Old Testament readings, and there are many more that we haven't discussed this morning, to show to us that we are church building, being built on a cornerstone, a living rock. So this morning we would like to discuss two things. First of all, who is the spiritual house? And secondly, on what basis or foundation is the spiritual house being built? The Apostle Peter wrote this specific letter for us. And he should have known what he was writing about, because he was an apostle of the Lord and he was trained up by the Lord himself. When the Lord Jesus saw Peter for the first time, he said, Cephas, you are Simon the son of John. You will be called Cephas. John 1:42. And Cephas is the Aramaic word for rock. A little bit later on, after Peter has realized who the Lord was and came to a fuller understanding, the Lord asked him one day, who do you guys say I am? And we have the testimony of Peter, of course, that said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus made a very interesting response. And he said, I tell you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Matthew 16, verse 18. Now, that poses a very interesting question. What is the rock that the Lord referred to? This means, Jesus said he will build his church on the truth that Peter confessed about Christ. The testimony, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is the cornerstone, is the testimony, the rock that the church will be built on. But also, secondly, it is true that we read in Ephesians 2:20 that Paul said the church is being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. Therefore, the testimony of Peter was the testimony that me and you and all believers throughout all the ages make when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's on this testimony that the church keeps on building. It's interesting that the Apostle Peter, who was the rock, described those belonging to Jesus as living stones, who are being built into the church of the Lord. We should never see ourselves as lifeless, meaningless, no purpose, purposeless, cold stones in the church. Many medieval churches in Europe, if you go and walk there, you'll see in the floors there are tombstones in the floor of the churches where the kings and the famous people and the so-called holy and the church fathers were buried. And on these tombstones are engraved their pictures, because they believe this is how they are being built into the church of the Lord. But this is not what the apostle had in mind when he said we are living stones being built into the church. Rather, he was describing believers, you and me, when he said you are being built into the church. If we think about it for 1 minute, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. We are living stones. We already, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are alive. We're not waiting to be made alive. But also as living stones, we are being built into a spiritual house, in verse 5. The verb that we've got here, being built, is passive. It means that we have no contribution towards us being built into the house. It's being done to us, in spite of us. We are being built into a spiritual house. And of course, we as believers know that it's the Lord that's been building us into his house by his Spirit and through his words. Jesus is, after all, the master builder, and he takes each and every stone of each and every believer and he puts it together, and he's building his kingdom here on earth. How does he do it? Yes, through the proclamation of his word and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But the verb being built is also present tense. It means that it's an ongoing process. It never stops. Brothers and sisters, when the Lord brought us to faith through his Spirit, that was not the end of our journey. It was merely the beginning of our walk with God. In the same way as you walk, drive past the building site, and you'll see mud and pipes, and you'll see old electrical cables lying around and bricks, etc., as they build the building, so is the church of God on earth. It is being built. In the church we see sin. In the church we see error. In the church we see imperfection. Because the church of the Lord has not been completed yet. It is a construction site. And so it is true for us as a congregation. We are all fallible, sinful people. And so it is for the church throughout the entire universe. The church is not perfect. We must therefore, brothers and sisters, not look for a perfect church, because it does not exist. We are also being built into a spiritual house. In the Old Testament, the people of God went and worshipped in the temple. It was a majestic building, and the Lord was present in the building. So they had to go there to that specific place to worship, to bring their sacrifices and meet God. That is where the high priest was, that also offered their sacrifices on their behalf. But of course, in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. It no longer exists. So the question, of course, is, where is the temple of the Lord now? And as we know, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says to them, do you know that you are God's temples, and that the Spirit of the Lord lives within you? That described a different church, didn't it? That describes to us that we belong to a different church than what the Old Testament people belong to. We belong to a church indwelt by the Spirit of God. This, of course, is true because we are also part of the Holy Priesthood. In the Old Testament, only the priests could go and offer sacrifices to God. The priests, the high priest, was the intercessor on behalf of the people. And the people could not go and have intercession with God directly. But praise the Lord for it, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that barrier has been removed. And we have to act as priests for God on our daily walk. We can approach the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ by means of His Spirit every moment of every day when we so require. We can all draw close to God in worship and in service every day of our lives. The question, of course, is what is our offering? What does the Lord expect from us? The Apostle Paul also says, hang on a second, we have to offer spiritual sacrifices. And we read that in Romans 12:1, Hebrews 13:15, and in Philippians 4:19. Three things that stand out for us. We don't have to go and take animals to the... You don't have to bring your sheep here, and we cull it quickly, and we bring sacrifices this morning. But the Lord says we need to bring spiritual sacrifices. And what are those? Romans 12:1 to Paul reminds us, says, let we offer our bodies as living sacrifices of thanks to God in obedient service. In Hebrews 13:15, we continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess and glorify His name. We offer our tithes and offerings. These are fragrant offering and acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Philippians 4:19. Spiritual sacrifices is anything that we do in the service of God. Spiritual sacrifices is anything that we do in the service of God. But why are they acceptable to God? Is it because of our work that our sacrifices are so perfect? Verse 5b actually tells us, hang on a second, they are only acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It is not our hard work or our pure motives or generous giving that make them acceptable, but rather the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that perfected for us. We are living stones being built into a spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Secondly, we are also being built on a secure cornerstone, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the passage in Isaiah, the Lord promised that He will lay a foundation, a cornerstone in Zion, on which He will build the church. The Old Testament was a collection of lifeless stones, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the living stone. He died and He was raised and He ascended into heaven, and He is alive. Listen to the quotes of Scripture. He is the living water, the living bread, the living way, and the living stone. John 4:6 and Hebrews 10. He is a chosen and precious cornerstone. From Isaiah 28, the stone would be laid in Zion, that is in Jerusalem. The Old Testament was destroyed. So how was the cornerstone laid in Jerusalem? Do we say more than the Lord was crucified in Jerusalem, outside Jerusalem? The Lord was raised and ascended into heaven. And at Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord was poured out in Jerusalem, the place where our spiritual well-being was established. So the question is, what is a cornerstone? A cornerstone in the Old Testament days were a massive stone that they laid as the first starting point to build a large building. It had to be perfectly level. It had to be at the perfect angle towards the sun, whichever direction you wanted to build it, because from that point onwards, they would use the plumb lines to make sure that the rest of the building is all square. That is a cornerstone. So when the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, it means that we can lay no other foundation for the church than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:7, 11. We sing about it in a hymn, don't we? The church's own one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. The entire church should be lined up from the base starting point of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did, what He's doing, and what He will continue to do throughout all eternity. That is the only foundation. If we think about the foundations that the Mormons are trying to lay, the Catholics, the Muslims, etc., something over and above, in addition to the work of Christ. How sad is that? Teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundational teaching to the church is making sure that the knowledge and the error in the church is eliminated, and also that the people will grow up and understand the chief cornerstone. But brothers and sisters, there are two responses to the chief cornerstone. Some people believe and others don't. Those that of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter describes us in verse 4. And he says, these are the people who came to him in repentance, faith, and continue to worship and pray to God. They trust in him and will never be put to shame. They will never be disappointed. Verse 6. The first part of verse 7 is difficult to translate, but the ESV captures the essence for us this morning. These believers will receive honor, so the honor is for you who believe. Brothers and sisters, these people had a horrific time in the first century. They were slandered, they were murdered, they were killed, they were humiliated for their faith. And what was the honor they believed? The Lord Jesus Christ honored them with their faith and their perseverance. The only way to belong to the church of the Lord is to trust in him. It's a simple equation for all of us. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catechism expresses the biblical requirement when it says to us, we are a community chosen for eternal life and united in one true faith. When a person joins the church as a professing member, we make a promise, a vow. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent to redeem the world. Did you hear the same promise or the same declaration as that Peter made? We also state that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, revealing Christ and his redemption. This is the condition of Scripture, of membership to the church, faith in Christ. Our profession in the Lord Jesus Christ marks the point of entry into being a living member of the Church of Christ. Do you want to join the church as a living member? Then you must come to the Lord in repentance and faith. But there are also those who do not believe, for whom this cornerstone is a stumbling stone. Peter describes them with two quotes from the Old Testament. Verse 7. The picture is of builders examining a stone, putting it aside as unsuitable for being the cornerstone. And that's exactly what we read in Matthew 21:42. The religious leaders evaluated Christ and rejected Christ as the chief cornerstone. When people reject Christ, he is in verse 8, a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Brothers and sisters, it's not the Lord that makes them fall. It's not the Lord that makes them stumble, but it's they themselves that stumble over the stone. Verse 8b gives us a way for us. They stumble because they disobey the message. They disobey the message means that they reject God's word in the Bible. They refuse to rebel, they refuse to listen and believe, and they rebel against God. As a result, they stumble and fall and miss the right path, and they take offense at Jesus and reject him. Peter then wrote, which is also what they've been destined for, verse 8b. And this is the mystery of God's sovereignty. This is the mystery of God's salvation. In his mercy, God has chosen or elected some to be saved. And in his justice, he has passed others by and not elected them. This is taught in Scripture. But the Bible also teaches us that every person in the world is responsible for his own sin. Each person in the world is called to believe in God as the Creator, and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. We don't know whom God has chosen, do we? But we do know that we are supposed to do. That is to repent of our sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do this, we will be saved. On the other hand, if we do not turn to the Lord, the saving grace and the mercy of the Lord will become a massive stumbling block to us. How do we return to the Lord? Brothers and sisters, through repentant, joyful, and living lives of assurance before the Lord. If we do that, the Lord will continue to build us into the church as a living stone by His Word through His Spirit. We will be built on Jesus, who is our chief cornerstone. Our small faith in the Lord will continue to grow and grow and grow till we see Him one day face to face. There is no other cornerstone for us to build on. Our Lord Jesus is precious. He is honored. He is highly esteemed. He is our Savior, Redeemer, and our King. He is the cornerstone on which our lives and our lives in all eternity is being built on. Some people will not accept Christ. They will reject Him. So the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He was rejected by men, but He has been accepted by God the Father, who has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that on the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Have you thought about it? One day every person in the world will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that He is the chief cornerstone. Someday everybody will bow and worship and praise the Lord. Some out of fear, and others out of joy. Others will worship Him, like us, with joy because they came to Him as a living stone and they built their lives on Christ, the solid rock. What is our response to Christ? What is our relationship in the church, brothers and sisters? Do we see it as a necessary evil, something that we have to do? Do we see it as an activity for a Sunday to come to church? Or do we recognize that the Lord is building all of us together in a spiritual house? Do we recognize that the Lord is building us into a spiritual house to live together for all eternity as brothers and sisters in faith? Are we cold stones or are we living stones? Do we live the love of Christ and portray the love of Christ? Or has the love of Christ become dull and cold in our hearts? Are we being built into the living church by the Spirit of the Lord? Or are we still outside lying in the cold? Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful thing it is when we can profess and proclaim, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." May the Lord help us all to understand we're part of a living church being built through all eternity, through all ages. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen.